Hello, it's Robert Bathurst here. I was one of the first guests on My Time Capsule, and Mike has asked me to tell you that you can now listen to the podcast ad-free by subscribing to Acast Plus. Details of how to join are in the description of each episode. Mike says it's very reasonably priced. In fact, Mike says it's a bargain. And who am I to disagree, locked here in his cellar? Anyway, for a small subscription, Acast Plus, My Time Capsule, ad-free. Free. Unlike me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to My Time Capsule. I'm Mike Fenton-Stevens, if you didn't know, and My Time Capsule is my podcast where people tell me, there's a lot of me and my's in that sentence, obviously, the five things from their life that they wish they had in a time capsule. They pick four things that they really love and one thing that they'd like to bury and forget. My guest in this episode is Michelle Brazier. Now, Michelle is Australian, so for anyone from that wonderful country, you already know who Michelle is. For everyone else, you soon will. And here's a little selection of her work. Michelle is a multi-award-winning singer, actor, writer, and comedian, and has appeared in ABC's critically acclaimed long-running series, Sean McCaleb's Mad as Hell. She's also in Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun, Utopia, Whovians, Get Crackin', Drunk History, At Home Alone Together, and Michelle joined the cast as a regular on the most recent season of Channel 10's How to Stay Married. She made her feature film debut in 2018's The Merger and has appeared on Thank God You're Here, We Interrupt This Broadcast, The 100 with Andy Lee, and the upcoming musical TV series Australian Epic. She's written for a number of top TV shows, and in 2021, Michelle debuted her award-winning show Average Bear, which was nominated for Most Outstanding Show at the 2021 Melbourne International Comedy Festival. It also won Director's Choice Award at the 2021 Sydney Comedy Festival and received rave reviews from the Sydney Morning Herald and renowned UK comedy guide Chortle, with a sold-out season at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2022. The show has since been filmed as a special for Paramount Plus. Following this success, Michelle returned to the UK for a sold-out season at the Soho Theatre in London and a sold-out critically acclaimed Edinburgh Fringe season of her second show, Reform, a theatrical hour of storytelling and music, which she's returning to the UK and Ireland with this May and June. So book your tickets now while you have the chance to see her up close. Because Michelle, I promise you, is going to be big. She's also, as you'll discover now, one of the most delightful people I've spoken to on this podcast. So please welcome, via the wonders of the World Wide Web, Michelle Brazier. Hello!
Hi, I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry. We're the other sides of the world. Where are you, Michelle?
I'm in Australia. I'm in Melbourne.
Hurrah! Hurrah for Australia. Hurray for Oz. That's all I can say.
It's pretty good.
Brilliant. What time is it?
It is 7 p.m.
There you are. So it's 10 o'clock in the morning here.
Ah, good morning. It's going to be a good day.
Isn't it incredible, this?
I love it, yeah.
It's unbelievable. The world is suddenly so small.
Yes, it's an absolute treat. We're very lucky to be able to know that.
Yeah.
Like, to live in a time where we can be like, Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a silly thought, but I love it.
Well, yeah, when the world's such a mess, it does give you hope that you sort of think, well, actually, look, we could just talk to each other. We can see each other. We can say, yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't mean that.
You know? Yes.
But I love Australia. I have not been to Australia for many, many years.
Oh.
But in the early 80s, well, before you were even thought of, I toured Australia 3 times.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. And I love the idea that also I played Wagga Wagga.
What?
Yes.
Did you really?
We really did. We played the
We
played the Retired Servicemen's League Club in Wagga Wagga.
Wow.
And I love the idea that maybe your mum and dad came and saw us.
I mean, they probably did. They went to see everything. That's amazing.
Isn't that a fantastic idea? I know.
That is so special. They probably did. That's so cool. Wow, what a treat.
There we are. You see, maybe through that into their genes, I gave you sort of an inspiration
yes.
to be comically funny in song. Because that's what we did. We sang funny songs.
Yeah, I mean, maybe my entire life is because my parents saw you and something happened.
Yeah. What a weird idea.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a fantastic time. I had such a lovely time touring around Australia.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always wanted to go back. And you do assume in life that actually, as an actor, you assume that life might take you back through work.
Yeah.
But it hasn't, never, sadly.
Oh, well, hopefully you book something and you come back over.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be nice.
Yes, we even considered at one point, I think Channel 10 offered us a television series and we considered doing it.
Oh.
And staying there.
You should have come. It's so nice here. We're far away from everything.
Yeah.
Like it feels a lot more chill, you know?
Yeah. But there you are. Work has given you the opportunity. You've now got this chance to come back over here, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. It's a real treat. I get to travel so much. I am so lucky. It's quite mad. I just got back from New York. I did Off-Broadway, which was amazing.
Oh,
and a really
fantastic.
Cool way to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Very lucky.
Did it go well?
It went so well. They got up, they stood up and they clapped and it was full house. It was lovely. It was the best.
So when that phone rings, you're going to have to ring up and say, I'm really sorry, UK and Ireland, but I'm afraid Hollywood is calling.
I'm busy. No, I'm very excited to get back to the UK and Ireland. I've never been to Ireland.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. Where are you going?
I'm so excited. Just to Dublin and Belfast.
Ah, well, they're beautiful. Both beautiful cities.
Yeah.
Really good. If
yeah.
you get a chance to go and look at the countryside as well, though, it is really gorgeous.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try and hire a car and just go for a big drive as much as I can. But I don't know how many days off I have, so I think it's pretty tightly packed.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But you'll love the humour. I'm sure you will. I think it's a similar humour between Australians. It's a very direct humour, which I like.
I think so too, yeah. I agree. I always loved Irish comedians growing up.
Mm. I once saw a road sign in Australia. You know when you approach a bend and it says slow?
Yeah.
So it had slow written on the road. And then a little bit further on, it had slower.
That's very Australian.
Yeah, exactly. See, it sums up that sort of humour. I think it's great. So, Michelle, you've delightfully agreed to play my game, which is to choose 5 things to put into your time capsule
yes.
from your life.
Yes.
You know, I mean, good luck with the tour. Good luck with the album.
Thank you.
You know, if anybody's interested, there'll be links and everything to all those things.
Yes.
But we'll see if they come up as we talk
Beautiful.
About those 5 things. Gorgeous.
Great.
Lovely. So what's the first thing you want to put in a time capsule?
Okay. So the first thing that I want to put into the time capsule, this is like a specific feeling and it's a collection of things, but it's the feeling of tomatoes with olive oil, salt and pepper around a table full of people that assume the best of each other and an elderly dog. Now, I know it feels like I'm cheating. I know it seems, but do you know what I mean when I say that? Does that evoke something for you?
It does. It absolutely does.
Yes. Yeah.
Not sure about the elderly dog, although I've got several friends who would qualify.
Oh, yeah. It's just that, it's that feeling of like comfort, chosen family and just, like, I guess it's the feeling of not worrying. Maybe it's free time. Maybe it's friendship. I don't know what it actually distills down to, but for me, it's that. That's my dream, you know?
Mm.
That's what I want, to be able to always go in and dig up and access.
Do you know, there's something wonderful about Australians in as much as that I ask you to pick these things, and the first thing you do is, in a way, pick the same thing that Tim Minchin would pick.
Oh, really?
Do you know, well, I mean, he, in a sense that he wrote that beautiful song, Drinking
White Wine in the Sun. Oh, yes. It's such a beautiful song. I'm a really big fan of Tim's. I grew up being obsessed with Tim, and he recently came to see one of my shows for the first time.
Wow.
And I lost my mind because I was doing Sydney Theatre Company, and I have a line of people who line up to say hi and take photos and mm-hmm. stuff after the show. And I saw this, you know, sort of redhead, unkempt hair come and cut the line. And I was like, who's this person think they are? And then I realized it was Tim. And I was like, all right, okay, be cool. Because we've got so many friends in common. We've met a few times, but he's mm-hmm. never seen my show. And he came up and he went, that was so brilliant. And I'm so jealous of your voice. And I had this and I had that. And I was like, this is a treat. Actually, I should put that in the time capsule. It's just compliments from Tim Minchin. So
I'm going to put
lovely.
That in a special little corner. Yeah, that's you get an additional one. That's a great moment.
Yes, yes. He's an idol.
Yeah, he's a delightful man, isn't he?
Yes.
Amazing talent. Anyway, now tomatoes, onion, olive oil.
Not onion. Tomatoes, no. Olive oil, salt and pepper.
The type
that you can get in Croatia, like really good tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sea salt, cracked pepper, like $30, which I don't know, that's like a 15-pound olive oil, like a really nice.
Yeah.
But you don't feel bad for opening it. Like it's that. And maybe some bread, like some sourdough bread.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah.
But eating in the open.
Eating in the open, eating outside where it's like you have a light jacket. It's not hot, but it's been sunny today. Now the sun's gone down. It's nighttime. You've had two wines, no more. It's that. It's that feeling of just being like, we're here and we're here together and there's nothing to worry about. And we're just enjoying simple things. I think it's that. My life's so busy and complicated and there's so many highs and a lot of things going on. So I think just friendship and good food, I guess, is really appealing to me.
Yes. That does tend to lead on to more than two wines, doesn't it?
Yes, it's very hard not to have more, especially when you're enjoying the company, you know. I'm such a nightmare with that. I'm like, you know, I would never drink on my own. I don't think I even like drinking. I just think I like consuming everything all at once. If everybody's into it, I'm like, yes, let's just, I'm such a yes and. I'm an improviser. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is a huge issue.
Well, do you know, I think for everybody, not necessarily exactly that meal, but that situation is really clear.
Yes.
Do you know, I had a very strange experience last night.
What happened?
I came home from work on a Sunday. That's annoying, isn't it?
That is annoying. But you're in a musical at the moment, aren't you?
I am. I'm doing Wicked.
So you have to work Sundays, yes. Do you have Mondays off in the UK for musicals?
We do. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah,
good.
So today is my day off. Yes.
Yes. Oh.
Well, what a pleasure to spend it with you.
Thank you.
So I came back and there was a woman on the train and she was with her young son and they got on the wrong train.
Oh.
And I said, well, you can catch another train if you get off at the station I'm getting off. And as they got off, the train they could have caught left the station.
Oh.
And she started to cry.
Oh,
it was awful. And I said, where are you going? And it turned out she was going somewhere, it was about 25 minutes from the station. Not necessarily in my direction, but I said, okay, I'll drive you. And she said,
oh, you can't.
I said, well, I can't not drive you. I can't bear the idea of leaving you here with your young son.
Wow.
And I'm only telling this story because the young son, I said to him, what do you want to be? He was only about 8 or 9. And he said, I'd like to be an entrepreneur. And I said, oh, well, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, somebody gave me advice recently, which was, the only people in the world who are trapped by money are very poor people, of which there are a lot, and very rich people, of which there are a few. And they all are slaves to money because poor people need it desperately and rich people can't forget it.
Oh, I love that.
So I said, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, don't do it for money.
Wow.
And do you know, it's that sort of feeling, I think,
that
it makes me think of, that feeling where, in fact, you realise that the important things are those people around the table and that lovely, simple, fresh
food. Simple things. Yes, exactly. Just enough, having just enough and something that you can make yourself. It's such a special feeling. Oh, my gosh, that's such a beautiful story. I love that story. That's really endeared you to me. I adore. I love talking to strangers. That's exactly like if my friends listen to this podcast, they will say, oh, my God, Michelle, that man definitely got into your genes somehow. I am very much that. I love talking to strangers. I'm actually I'm not safe about it. Like, I'm so silly, but I just love it. It's so nice to be able to help. It feels good. It's not, I don't think it's altruistic, really. I think it feels good for you as well.
No, it's selfish almost, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. It feels so good to help people, and it feels awful not to help them. So I don't understand why people think, oh, well.
No, and also conversation. As you say, just with strangers. The most extraordinary things happen as a result of it, I think.
Yes, the most amazing things. It's magnificent. It's really special.
Well, I mean, I come from the south of England, where, in fact, we're famous for being reserved and famous for not talking to people. So it's very unusual if you go into a shop for people to strike up a conversation.
Really?
It's odd, isn't it?
Oh, I don't like that. I don't know how I'm going to cope if I...
Well, I think what you'll do is you'll break down the barriers.
I hope so.
Because people who naturally walk in and say morning and start talking to people about things, you will get the reaction almost certainly of people looking at you as if you're slightly mad because you're talking.
Wow. You know, in COVID, there was a study, and please don't quote me on this, I'm not a scientist, but there was a study that showed like the thing that we missed the most was the social interactions with strangers that we have, like, and or like the acquaintances, the side characters in our movie, like the people who you buy your coffee from or the people who you hold the door open for and things like that, the people at the checkout, and just how much that damaged us was not having that for 2 years. And I thought that was so fascinating, and it makes complete sense.
It really does, I think. I'm happy to look slightly mad in as much as I think conversation.
Well, that's your job.
It's my job.
That's our job. That's what we do professionally.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
Yeah. You can always excuse it, can't you? Excuse me, sir. What are you doing? I'm an actor. Oh,
I'm working.
Of course. Yeah. I'm doing a study here.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
But I love the idea of sitting around a table and eating tomatoes. As you say, those beautiful sort of tomatoes you get in Croatia and Italy. And
yes.
That sort of thing, with a really good olive oil. If I could get it to you, I would send you. I have a cousin who lives in Sicily.
Oh.
And they have their own olive grove.
Oh, amazing.
And they make their own olive oil.
Do they?
And it's beautifully peppery.
Oh, see, this is too much. I just want that. Now I just want that.
Well, you can have it. It's in the time capsule. I put it in there for you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Lovely. Great. Okay, Michelle, so what's the second thing you'd like to put in?
Well, your story actually leads me into my second one. It's not going to make sense at first, but hear me out. My second one is my Pilates reformer machine. Do you know what that is?
Well, I know what Pilates is.
Okay, great. So you can do it on the ground, like, which is called mat Pilates, but honestly, that's for boys. It's mostly push-ups. Yuck. Like, I want to do the Pilates that is on the reformer machine, which is this sort of bench that like slides up and down some rails, and it has pulleys and different weighted things. I don't know. As I said before, I am not a scientist, but it is something that I can trick myself into doing and pretend like it's a ride and not a workout. So I love Pilates. And my whole, and like, I know it's revolutionary, white woman loves Pilates, but hear me out. I love it. And during the pandemic, I tried to buy a Pilates reformer online from this guy. And I didn't have one at the time. I decided I wanted to buy one because I couldn't do any other exercise except for walking. And in Melbourne, we were locked down. We were only allowed 5 kilometer radius from our house, and we could only go out for 1 hour each day. And there were police and military who would make sure. It was quite full on. And so I wanted to exercise a bit more because I had nothing else going on. And I tried to buy this Pilates reformer online from this guy, and he didn't send it to me. And then I found his profile. You know, it was his real profile. It was Facebook Marketplace. So I went to his friend who was friends with him and was tagged and had commented in photos and things. And I said, listen, mate, your friend has clearly scammed me, because he'd blocked me by this point. He's clearly scammed me. I don't want to go to the police, but, you know, if you can just tell him I'm going to have to, unless he gives me my money back or lets me know what's going on. And
how
just
much
tell
did
him
he spend?
It was only $500. And I knew that was too cheap. You know, I knew it was too cheap. Yeah. But in the end, it was completely worth it for the story because this man then called me, FaceTimed me, saw me and said, oh, Auntie Donna, which is the sketch comedy group I work with.
Yes.
Said, I'm a huge fan, realized he'd scammed someone he likes the comedy of. And then just completely sort of broke down, told me all this stuff that's going on in his life, told me he'd get me a refund. I said, that's so fine. And then I would check in every few days and be like, where's the refund? How's the refund coming along? And it just didn't calm, and he was always making excuses, and he would eventually just sort of start being like, I'm really stressed and, you know, I've made a terrible mistake. And we got to this point where I was sort of becoming his therapist because none of his friends were talking to him anymore and his family wasn't talking to him. They'd had to remortgage their house because he'd had all these gambling problems and all these alcohol problems, and he'd, you know, just done all these awful things not thinking. And I became the last friend he had and his emergency contact at the hospital. And this is what I mean, where I can get into trouble talking to strangers. But
yes.
But then I made it into the show, which is actually the show that I'm coming to tour in the UK and Ireland. Mm. I made it into my show called Reform, about believing the best in people, even though they keep showing you the worst. Just giving people, if you can afford it, giving them the opportunity to be the best version of themselves. Because I think if you believe in people, then they can rise to that. And if you don't, they have nothing to rise to. And I would rather be a fool than a cynic. I would rather assume the best of people. I would rather get it wrong than protect myself and never help anyone. And so anyway, I wrote this show about it. I wrote this show doing it, and it's got music in it. My partner plays my scammer. And that show was so successful that I was able to buy my own Pilates reformer. And so my reformer is like, it's like a symbol to me that I was smart to be stupid, if that makes sense. Like I did the right thing and it worked out in the end.
In the end?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's strange, isn't it, that thing? Somebody told me off the other day for giving somebody on a train some money. You know, there's people who walk along a train and say, sorry, everyone, sorry to disturb you.
Yes.
I haven't got anything I need. And it was very obvious from the look of this person that they were a drug addict.
Yeah.
I mean, it was sad. Mm-hmm. And I gave this person money and somebody said, you, they're not going to spend that on food, you know.
Oh, my God.
And I said, yes, I know. I do know.
Yeah. Who cares? At least they're not going to rob somebody. At least they're not, like, at least they're going to be okay because they might die if they don't get those drugs. Like, it's, people are so quick to discount the needs of anybody who's made a mistake in terms of, like, drugs and drug addiction. Mm. It's mad. And I don't understand why we think that's the one illness that you deserve if you have it.
Yeah. I mean, I also think if you're addicted to drugs, in a way you ought to have access to them.
Yes, you need them.
It's not having access to them that drives people to do ridiculous things. In fact, sometimes awful things.
Yes.
So better to give them the means to buy the drugs than to not, or just ignore them.
I think so too. If you can't offer them treatment, then at least you can offer them something, you know, like, of course it would be better to get them into a facility where they can get better and they can get off drugs, but that's not always available on the train.
Sort of as you did with that man.
Yeah.
It's an extraordinary idea that you stuck with him.
Yeah.
When really you should be saying, excuse me, mate, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. But that was because his life was a mess.
Yes, and I was just so interested in how a person gets to that point where they use their own profile, their real profile, to do something like this.
Yeah.
You must be so desperate. And he was like a private school boy. His private school, that's public school for you, isn't it? So like a fancy school. He went to a very expensive school.
Yeah.
And he was quite privileged and he'd just fallen from grace. And I was just so shocked at how that can happen, because I am someone who I grew up in the country. I grew up in Wagga Wagga. Like, I didn't really have anything. So to look at somebody who might have had like a pool, like, that's crazy. Like, I went to a school where like kids brought knives and it wasn't like, oh no, someone's got a knife. It was like, Trent, don't. Like, it was like, that's how I grew up, you know. So I can't even imagine what
it was. Crocodile
like
Dundee, you call that a knife?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I think that's a good lesson. I'm glad you're touring it. I'm glad you're telling people, because we are very quick to judge.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
As a complete non-believer, I will use the phrase there, but for the grace of God.
Absolutely, yeah. Me too.
Mm. Yeah.
It could happen to any of us.
And also, I recently rediscovered the joy of doing that exercise.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, only because I'm suddenly in a show and it's part of the obligation that I have to term up for warm-up.
Yes.
And I'm performing with dozens and dozens of incredibly fit, healthy young people who do these things with ease. And I thought, well, this is an opportunity rather than a curse.
Absolutely.
I'm going to jump at it. I'm going to join in. And it's fun.
Yes, I love that. That's so cool. I really love that. And I think, you know, it's good. I do love exercise. I used to really hate it. And I was like, do I hate it or do I just hate that I am not fit? And so I started exercising. I was like, ah, yeah, okay. I get it. It's good. It's nice to like feel like you can walk and things. Blah, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's easy to, it's easy to deceive yourself, isn't it? To say, well, you know, I'm happy this way. This is where I want to be.
Oh, yeah. The easiest excuse in the book is like, I know myself. I'm not that kind of person. It's like, what do you mean? You know, you're going to be so many different people. Shut up. Grow up. Just try it, you idiot. I hate that. I hate people just being like, no, I'm not going camping because I hate it. It's like, you don't even, shut up. So annoying.
I look forward enormously to people seeing reform coming around the country. Thanks. But it'll have to be a Monday night for me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. How exciting. You're doing these, is it 8 shows a week in the UK?
Yeah,
that you do?
8 shows
but,
a
yeah,
week.
Yeah, we do that here. Yeah. Oh, gosh, what a treat.
And you've done a number of your musicals, haven't you? You've got the most fantastic voice.
Oh,
I mean,
thanks.
I listen to you sing and I think to myself, ooh, you strike me as if you have the range, the natural range to play Elphaba, which is quite a
Thank
role.
Thank you. Yeah. I've sung it a few times. I've never played Elphaba. I don't know if I could do the same thing every night.
Yeah, yeah.
For that long now. Now that I've been able to do my own thing and react to when something changes in the audience, that's my problem. I just want somebody to say, we're going to cast you, but if something goes wrong, you're allowed to say something. You know, you're allowed to go off book. You're allowed to go off script. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. So until I get it all out of my system, I think I can't do 8 shows a week for a long time, for, you know, a long extended period of time.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, well, in fact, it's one of the reasons I took the job is because I wondered if I could.
Yeah. All right, maybe I'll go back. I'm going to do a musical. There's actually a few offers on the table for the end of the year that I'm thinking about taking, but yeah, you're inching me towards them.
Oh, okay.
We'll see how we go.
Yeah, they've been in touch. They said, try and persuade her.
You're being paid for this. There's no podcast.
No. And yet I still have that instinct that you have because the other night I hit the worst bum note. It was terrible.
Really? Yes.
I just went for a note and it didn't come out properly. And I just turned to the audience and shrugged. And people said to me, you're not supposed to do that.
I love that. That's so great though. Because if you're not saying it, they'll say, like they'll know, you know. I think that's so fantastic.
Oh,
I love that. Live theatre should be live.
Lovely. Well, I'm going to put your Pilates machine in, which is lovely. Pilates lying down. Fantastic.
Yes, it's so nice. I think that's the main reason I like it.
Sort of exercise while sleeping.
Yes, exactly. That's all I want. I just want to lie down.
Perfect. Okay, let's find out what number 3 is then. Okay, sorry to interrupt, but we have to make space for some ads to help to pay for this podcast. We'll be back very soon.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back and thanks for sticking around. Right, let's get back to Michelle Brazier and the rest of her time capsule choices.
Okay, my number 3 is a croc key ring, like a key ring that has a croc, the shoe, not the animal, yes, hanging off it, that I was gifted from a friend of mine. So my family has a very difficult relationship with Christmas because a lot has happened in my life and I've done shows about it. So I won't speak about it at length, but essentially the Cliff's Notes are, I'd just gotten out of hospital because I was in a fire. I had to learn to walk again. Then my father was diagnosed with cancer and he died a week later, shortly after my brother was diagnosed with cancer and he died a few months later. So we now live in the shadow of this surprise, you know, genetic condition that's, we're predisposed to this cancer and it's just the women left in the family. And so Christmas is kind of just this routine that is sort of haunted by the ghosts of these men that aren't there anymore and the ones that made it really fun. You know, not that we're not fun, but they just, especially my brother in particular, was really, really fun. And so Christmas for me, because I'm the youngest, I really want Christmas to be exciting. And I have one sister. My sister and I see things very differently. So I am very much, like a doctor told me I have a 97% chance of developing cancer. And I was like, all right, well, better get to it then. Let's go enjoy my life. And my sister was just complete ostrich about it. Stuck her head in the sand, doesn't want to know about it, doesn't want to think about it. And so we're sort of at odds in that way. And so at Christmas time, she's like, all right, well, it's Christmas. I've just got to sort of come over. And she, you know, she goes over to mum's house. They still both live in Wagga and she goes to mum's and I'm there and I'm, you know, aggressively positive and relentlessly from the city. Like I'm very bothersome because I'm like, let's make it magic. Let's make it special. I'm, you know, I've got White Wine in the Sun on repeat and the Pogues playing because that was my brother's favorite Christmas song. And, you know, I'm just really trying to inject all this meaning as I think a way of grieving or a way of celebrating my brother and my father. And my mum and my sister really just want to have it as a day of sort of reverence and a day of mourning, maybe. More serious, you know, the people who are gone aren't here. And so we shouldn't be so spirited about it. What does this have to do with Crocs? I will get to it.
No. I mean, it's a very interesting thing, is that the different ways that people grieve.
Oh, yeah.
And people, in a way, should be allowed to, but some people object to people saying, well, I'm going to grieve by enjoying myself.
Yeah.
By actually saying they would have wanted me to be happy.
Exactly.
So I'm going to be deliriously happy.
Yes, and I think, you know, life is far too short to take seriously. That's the one thing I've learned. And of course, I go and get myself checked all the time, like I'm serious about it, but I just want to enjoy the time that I have. You know, I want to have my tomato with my friends. I want to do my thing. I want to pull the strings and find out who the Pilates scammer is. You know, I just want to have as much life as I possibly can while I have it. And I think, you know, that's a fair response to grief, even though sometimes you do want to withdraw. I think sometimes grief can open you up and it can almost be a bit of a gift.
Yes.
Of perspective, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely, because you will be aware that you have this thing hanging over you.
Yes.
But there's also a bus around the corner that you don't know about.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, who knows? I mean, I'm certain I'll die in some sort of ridiculous
skydiving accident.
Yeah, it'll be something like that. Like, that will be what gets me. But I was hosting Christmas this last Christmas. I finally convinced my sister and my mum to come to Melbourne to have Christmas at my apartment. And I was so excited. And I've been vegetarian for 10 years. I learned how to cook a whole fish, like a full fish, because they didn't want to have a vegetarian Christmas, which is fair enough. I learned how to cook a full fish from my friend who's a chef. I borrowed a barbecue. I did this beautiful spread and I was really excited about it. And I bought a tiny Christmas tree. I've just got a 2-bedroom apartment and I bought this Christmas tree that's about half my height. And my dear friend Eve Blake, who's this beautiful, she writes musicals. She's got a musical coming out in London really soon called Fangirl. She's so relentlessly positive and just like me. And she came over and I showed her my Christmas tree and she tried to be as positive as she could. She was like, do you have any ornaments for it? And I was like, yes, I do. And I brought out this thing that a fan had gifted me that they had made. They were an artist. And when my dog Bruce had passed away, this beautiful old rescue staffy, we got him when he was 9 years old, good boy, died of cancer, of course, very on brand. But this bauble that a fan had painted for me and given to me at Christmas time, it had his face on it, just this beautiful, it was a beautiful hand-painted, stunning bauble. I was like, I've got this. This is going to be the star. And she was like, listen to me. You cannot just have a dead dog Christmas tree. That's not beautiful. That's so sad.
When you're trying to dissuade your mother and your sister.
She's like, I get it, girl, but this is not it. Like, full respect to you, but this is awful behavior.
And should so I take down the coffin lights?
Yeah. Yeah. And she was like, all right. You need to get some ornaments that mean something to you. What do you like? Like, and she's looking around my house and she's like, you love dogs. You love Crocs. Cause I'm always wearing Crocs. I've got all these high heel Crocs. And she was like, I wish that they made Crocs Christmas decorations. And then that was the end of the conversation. Didn't think about it. I went to the UK to do Edinburgh Fringe and I came back and I had a package from Amazon and it looked really dodgy. And I was like, I don't know what this is. And I actually was almost going to throw it out. And I made my partner open it up because I was like, what if it's anthrax? And he opened it up. And inside was like 50 tiny little Crocs on key rings that could go on there and just a little card that said, for your dead dog Christmas tree. Isn't that so thoughtful?
That's
Isn't
fantastic.
That the most beautiful? Yeah, it was it really so is, nice. Yeah. So that means the world to me.
Yeah, fantastic.
Really beautiful.
Oh, God, I can understand why you treasure them. That's fabulous. Yeah. And did it work with your mum and your sister? Did they come and did they have
Not
a nice
only
Christmas?
Did they come, they had the best Christmas ever. I cooked everything myself. They kept asking if they could help. I didn't need any help, which I did not expect. And then my sister asked for one of the key rings because she really liked
brilliant.
Them. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, raging success.
Well, also, you know, you never know what life's going to bring. And the speed and the rate at which people are discovering ways to deal with cancer.
Yes.
And I know this seems a threat and a danger, but I honestly believe, I truly believe that within the next 15, 20 years, maybe even sooner, somebody will say, well, don't worry about it. We can deal with it.
Oh, I hope
My
so.
Wife, a long time ago, she's a scientist. She was a scientist,
wow.
But she told me about somebody who was working in their lab who was trying to create a virus that would only attach itself to cancer cells.
Oh.
And that you'd make that very radioactive, but for a very short life span.
Wow.
It would then infect the cancer cells. The radioactivity would kill the cancer cells and it would be gone. And then the radioactivity would disappear.
Wow.
And I said, what an extraordinary idea. And you know, they can do that now with some cancers. So
really?
Yeah. There are extraordinary things being done.
Yeah, that's so magnificent to hear.
Mm.
I mean, I control what I can control and the rest. I just really have a lot of hope, which I think helps.
I'm sure it does.
I think hope is good.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
You know, something's going to get us in the end, but you've got to not let that weigh you down.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, that's the beauty of life. It wouldn't be special if it was forever.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
What a lovely thing to do to give you those Crocs. Fantastic.
I know. Isn't that so nice? Ugh, beautiful.
What's her musical again that's coming?
It's called Fangirls.
Fangirls.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's like, I can't give it away because it's got incredible twists, but it's such a great show. It's the best musical to come out of Australia in ages. And
wonderful.
Yeah, go see it. It's I love it. I adore
Brilliant.
It. It's really fun.
There we are. Fantastic. So that's three things. We've got two things left, Michelle. We've got one thing you want to keep and one thing you'd like to forget.
Yes. Okay, so my last thing that I'd like to keep is I just got back from the US, and when I was a little girl, I always wanted to be a Disney princess, like a voice, not actually to be a princess, but I wanted to be the voiceover for a Disney princess. Mm. I wanted to sing for Disney. That was all I ever wanted. And I did this program called Talent Development Project when I was like 15 years old as a singer. And I was overweight at the time and I really hadn't grown into my face or my nose. And I sort of, you know, I was an ugly kid, and that's great because now I'm funny. So sucked in. I'm a big believer in, like, it's actually really good if you're an ugly kid, because then you'll learn how to have a good personality. If you're born beautiful, you are absolutely ruined. Nothing here for you. It's all over for you once you get old. Like, that's it. But I'm grateful to that weird little ugly kid. But I got in a lot of, I didn't get into trouble, but I got sort of yelled at for being overweight, for not being thin enough or fat enough. Like, I didn't have a good look and I didn't know how to dress myself and my skin wasn't under control. And they were annoyed at me. And there were these, you know, huge, big record executives and people who could make or break my dreams. I was just a little girl from Wagga in Sydney by myself being told I shouldn't stand like that because it, you know, makes my legs look big, and I shouldn't wear green because it makes me look ugly and all these things like that. And I went, okay, I'm probably never going to be the voice of a Disney princess because I'm not a proper girl. I had this sort of thought, and I've just written a book, and I've got a chapter about female friendship that starts with the line, I am not a girl, I am a side salad. Like, because I really felt when I was a kid, I just felt like I just couldn't be feminine enough. Like I couldn't quite, my nose was too big or something was wrong. And that, of course, that's so silly.
But you are very beautiful.
Thank you. That's very kind. But I really, truly was an ugly kid. I know that you can look at me now and be like, oh, yeah, this seems to work.
But even that can just be perception. Do you know? I mean,
of course. Exactly. And it matters how you feel. But I will say, I show my friends photos when they say, no, you weren't. I show them photos. They go, oh, okay. Because I hit puberty when I was really young. Like I got my period when I was 8 years old. I've been tall. I hit my full height at 9 years old and I haven't gotten any, like I just was this big kid and I didn't know what to do. I had all this acne and I've got really curly hair and hair straighteners hadn't been invented yet, but my curls weren't nice. They were very frizzy. Mm. I was kind of like, if you could draw a weird looking kid, you'd probably draw me. Which is a
shame. But how extraordinary, Michelle, that they should judge your voice on how you look.
Yeah, it was sad and I was confused by it because I was like, I'm not asking to be in the movie, which is so, isn't that so sad?
No, don't draw the character based on me.
Yeah, she doesn't have to have the acne, no. Like, you know, things like that. But I think I just, that was a time where I just let go of that dream and I was like, okay, I need to find something else and I, you know, I'm never going to be that. I'm never going to play the lead role. I'm never going to X, Y, Z. And I think there's been some moments in my life that have really turned that around for me. Like I got to play Elle Woods in Legally Blonde and that was brilliant. So exciting for me because I was like, she is canonically pretty. It has to be true that I am acceptable at least. And not that it matters. I mean, it doesn't matter how you look, but I think it was, I just wanted to prove them wrong, you know.
Yeah.
But then I just recently got back from this trip to the US and I got to go and have a meeting with a casting director at Disney. And I have the little security pass because when you go into the studios, you know, you go in and you have to be signed in, that they show them your ID and you go through this big boom gate and there's all this security and you have to sign in, you sign your like NDA to say you won't take any photos or anything. Mm. But there's a little slip that they give you so that you can put it like in your car so that they know it's a car that's allowed to be there. And I kept that. And I usually don't keep things like that, but I kept that because I was like, that's for that little girl who didn't think that she had any chance. And not that I, you know, not that I'm about to be a Disney princess, but it was just like, I got to go in the door. I was invited in the door. Mm-hmm. And I think that meant so much to me to just be like, I walked into the place and they were nice to me and they didn't say, you look yucky, get out. It was just a really nice, it was a gift for her. I keep it as a memento for her. Myself.
Oh, yeah. I hope you're saying, I wish I could be part of your world.
And they were like, don't, miss, please stop singing. This is just a meeting. Shut up.
I'd like to sing all the time. Yeah, okay. Can we have the pass back, please?
Yeah, get out. You got to go. You got to go, mate. It's not on.
Well, I think you'll just squeeze in that UK tour and then I tell you that phone's going to ring. I'm sure.
That's very kind. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Lovely. Fantastic. So that's the four things you want to put in.
Those
that you
are
want
my
to keep.
Little special things. Yeah.
They are very special.
I wanted to put in dogs and then I was like, I can't put all the dogs down there. I need them up here. So
quite. Mm. Lovely. So now you have to think of something that you want to forget.
Yes. Mm. Okay. So this is I really tossed up between two here, but I think the one I'm going to go with is just airplane travel, just having to get on a plane and to go somewhere. Mm. It makes me so angry. It's inefficient. It's so annoying. Everyone is, you know, you go through security and you have to get all your, it's 2024 and you have to get your laptop out of your bag. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like, what are you fucking talking about? It's absurd. I can't believe it. And then you have to get on the plane and like everyone, and I agree, like the rules are you're on the plane, you can fart on the plane. But God, like what? I'm from Australia is so far from everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is so far. And so if we want to go anywhere, it's 10 hours minimum, 10 hours to get to LA, like 16, 20 to get to the UK. It is uncomfortable. Why don't they just make it so that everyone has a footrest? Why don't they just make it so that the food doesn't make you constipated? And why, when you're landing, so like you're like landing at 7 a.m. local time and they're like, great, so we're going to wake you up for breakfast at 3 a.m. Good luck with the jet lag, bitch. Like, why are they doing this to us? It makes me so upset and you feel sick the whole time. And now I'm afraid of flying too, which I didn't used to be. And it's just so annoying. I was in a failed landing. Have you ever been in a failed landing?
I have, yes. Horrible.
Oh, my goodness. So scary. And now I'm afraid and I have to take Valium. And I don't like taking Valium because I'm scared somebody's going to arrest me even though I have a prescription. It's too much.
It's a terrible way to travel, isn't it?
God.
Not even discussing the environmental effects of the whole thing. But, I mean, I really think... Again, this is a sort of an attitude to life. I think that what we need to do is to go back to very lovely, great big air balloons and do it slowly.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go from Sydney to Los Angeles, I want a week off.
Yes.
Where basically I can lie in a tub in my own suite.
Yes, exactly. Enjoy it. See, maybe I'm like a cruise girl and I don't even know it. I've never been on a cruise before. Mm. I just wish you could be on a train over the ocean. Like if you could go everywhere on a train, that would be so nice.
Yes, it would be. It would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I once did a 47-hour flight from the UK to Australia.
What?
Yep.
What happened?
It was the cheapest.
No.
We flew to Los Angeles, then to San Francisco, then to Hawaii, then to Wellington, I think, and then we finally got to Sydney.
It was my goodness.
Just awful.
Why did you do that?
And the worst I've ever seen anybody look is meeting my wife and 9-month and 2-year-old daughter who shared two seats on a 29-hour flight from England to Australia.
No.
And she came off the thing. She almost... threw our baby son at me. And I said, hello, darling, take the baby.
I think that's absolutely fair.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's so awful.
It's terrible. Yeah, hostess actually walked down at one point and said to her, sorry, people have asked if you could stop your baby crying.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And she said, well, I could suffocate him.
Yeah, would that be suitable?
Is that all right? Shall I do that?
Yeah, geez. Get some earplugs. Grow up.
Honestly,
it's so hard. It's so disgusting. A terrible thing to do. Airports, everyone's at their worst. And everyone's combative as well, especially American airports. Oh, my goodness. They're so... mad at you. Do you know what I will say? Edinburgh Airport is so nice because you walk in and they're lovely with their lovely Scottish accents and they're like, are you here for the Fringe? And you're like, yes, you know I'm here for the Fringe. Look at all these bags I have. And they're just so friendly. I love it. I love it.
Yes.
Oh, and you lose your bags. I lost my bags last time I came to Edinburgh Fringe, actually. That was an absolute nightmare. The anxiety is too much. Can't do it.
Yes, we need to do something about it. You're right.
Yes.
Because when I was a small child, I remember the first time I flew, I just stared out of the window the whole time. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It was so exciting. And we were above the clouds and you could see cars. And I became frightened of flying because I didn't like flying with my children and not being in control.
That makes sense.
You know, I didn't feel that if anything happened, I could protect them. But the way I rediscovered it was to remember that first time I flew.
Aww.
So I got on a plane going, oh, we're going to go up. Oh, we're going to go above the clouds.
All right, I'm going to try and find that joy again.
Yeah, but until then, let's bury it.
Let's bury it. Put it in the ground.
And some people will look up and go, oh, it's a large bird in the sky. What is it?
Yes, exactly. Excuse me if you can hear my dog snoring, but she's just having a little sleep behind
us. It's lovely. It's lovely having the dog on the sofa in the background. Michelle, it's been fantastic to talk to you. It's been really lovely to meet
Thank you. Thank you. You too. That's been a treat.
I'm very excited for you. I think that you have a great future ahead of you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I think you have a great future of ahead of you coming back to Australia.
Ah, indeed.
Yeah.
I absolutely will.
Come on over.
I shall relive one of my favourite moments sitting in Doyle's restaurant. I sat with a wonderful man called Swampy, who was our road manager. He was a very quiet man. He'd spent 7 years touring with Status Quo, so you can imagine the sort of life he'd led. And he sat there, and after a very long silence and just slightly too much wine, he looked out at the sunset and said, "Jesus Christ, we're having a fucking good time, aren't we?"
That's very Australian.
That's right. To me, that sums up Australia.
That's gorgeous. Love that.
Love him. Love that man. And love you. Thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you. Thanks so much. It's so kind.
Have a great tour.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You have been listening to My Time Capsule with me, Mike Fenton-Stevens, and my guest, the lovely Michelle Brazier. I had a fantastic time chatting with her, and I hope you enjoyed listening. If you did, then do subscribe and possibly rate or review this podcast, or get in touch with us on social media or via mytimecapsulepodcast@gmail.com. The theme tune you can hear playing could be heard without interruption from me if you search My Time Capsule The Theme Tune on Spotify. It was written and performed by Pass the Peas Music, if that helps. You can get this podcast ad-free and get a bonus podcast every week if you subscribe to the very generously priced Acast Plus. Details in the written description of this podcast. This cast-off production was, as always, produced with aplomb by John Fenton Stevens. Sometimes while eating a plum. So, a plum with a plum. How pleasant. I hope you can join me again soon for another episode or listen to the nearly 400 available online. Until then, as my mum's tea towel used to say, may you be in heaven half an hour before the devil knows you're dead. And as I used to quietly say to myself, and 15 minutes before God realizes you're in the wrong place. Bye.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com. Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.